Because one of the answers to that prayer might be that you have to wear this crazy device.
Get my Bible out there.
It'll keep you humble.
Just say no. I tried to say no this morning, and Joe wouldn't let me. Happy New Year. 2017. Hope it's going to be a good year. We hope it's going to be a good year. All right, let's see if I have this on. Let's see if I've got it. Oh, wow. What do you know? Good. All right. Well, along the first of the year, I think it's good to do a spiritual inventory. And by this, I certainly don't mean that we should get into New Year's resolutions. I am again New Year's resolutions. Why? Because we always break them. You go to the gym, you go to the Y, you know, and first two or three weeks in January, there's so many people in there you can't even get on a machine. So I don't even go at that time. I just wait. But a good spiritual inventory is always valuable. And to begin our discussion about spiritual inventory, I want to talk first about highways. Do you know, here's a test. Joe, here's a test. Now, you can't Google this. No Googling. Do you know how many miles of interstate highways there are in the United States of America? Joe got it. Did you hear it? 44,000. Good job, Joe. 44,000 miles of interstate. Why do we always pick on Joe? He's just right there this week. The 44,000 miles of interstate highways in the United States. But what about the rest of the roads? Well, according to the Rough Guides Travel Book series, there are more than 5.7 million miles of paved highway in the United States of America. That's a lot of pavement. That's also a lot of work and a lot of money. And in our day, if you think about it, we take roads for granted, don't we? We take them for granted. In fact, in our day, we see road building as somewhat of a nuisance. There's nothing worse than thinking, you know, you've got your entire trip planned, everything's all mapped out, you know exactly where you're going, and then you start your journey, and you think you're getting to go where you're going to go on time, and then sure enough, you run into road construction. And then the positive spiritual thoughts begin. You sit behind all that construction as you wait, and you think to yourself such deep spiritual thoughts as, can't they build these roads at night when no one's driving? Do we really need any more roads? Is that what my tax dollars go for? I didn't mean to look at you, Tom. Sorry. For these guys to just lean on their shovels and take forever and a day to build these roads? They've been working on these roads for years. They must be building this road in the day and then tearing it down at night. But the truth is that nothing has changed our lives more, really, economically, in terms of just freedom of movement in our modern age, more than good roads, going in every direction to every destination that we could ever want to visit. But it wasn't so in the day in which the writer of our scripture this morning penned the passage we're going to look at. You can turn over to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, and we're going to just hit a few verses there, starting in verses 4 through 6. It says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In Isaiah, this comes from Isaiah. In Isaiah, the prophet is announcing God's intention to build a wide, flat, straight highway across the mountains and deserts so that the exiles in Babylon could return to their homes in Judea. And though that promise was understood, even in its own day, as figurative, it was an appropriate figure. Think of the scale of such an ambitious project. Think of the labor and hours that a project like that would take. Probably thousands upon thousands of workers. If we could erase from our minds the way modern road construction happens and get in our minds the way roads were built during that time, it would be a sight to behold, and we would get the fuller meaning of this. Think of hundreds and thousands of men working in shifts, breaking rocks and placing them along the path. Think of the task of leveling mountains and filling in valleys without modern equipment, just men laboring long, hard hours with hand tools and perhaps a little bit of animal labor. Think of vast work camps along the road and men staying away from home for months at a time as they camped and followed the road construction as it went along. Think of getting all the supplies to and from the construction sites with just the help of animal and human labor. The fact is that when the prophet gave that imagery, it was seen as figural and not literal, even to the original hearers, because such a project would have seemed as enormous and impossible as the notion of exiles of Israel and Babylon ever getting passage of any kind, to safe or otherwise, to their homeland. But what the prophecy was really speaking to was the preparation that would be made for a king preparing to travel to a distant country through rugged terrain. Before a king made a long trip like that to a foreign land, the way had to be prepared. The road the king's possession would travel on had to be prepared. In some cases, it meant just improving the road, and in other cases, it meant building all new portions of the road altogether from scratch. In this case, however, Luke, of course, is referring to the coming of the Messiah, who would not be an earthly king or ruler, but instead would be a spiritual king and ruler. In fact, not a king, but the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And so what is Luke saying in this context? In using this ancient prophecy, he's talking about the preparations that need to be made for this coming king, the Messiah. And it is the nature of this king and the nature of his kingdom that would determine the kind of preparations that had to be made. This king, as we have said, is to be a spiritual king, and therefore the preparations must be the kind that corresponds to the nature of this king and the nature of his kingdom. Jesus said in John 18:36 that his kingdom was not of this world. Whoa. Hello. This thing can get ahead of you. He said that his kingdom was not of this world, and that his kingdom was from a different place. Over and over again in his teachings, Jesus alluded to the fact that the place of this kingdom, of his kingdom, was to reside in the heart. In fact, when describing the parable of the sower over in Matthew 13, Jesus said, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart." So the territory of this kingdom, and thus the nature of this coming king that Luke speaks of, as for human beings is concerned, is in the heart. Now, it would not be good for us to over-spiritualize this idea, to the point that we think that all this king would be concerned with would be our emotional faculties. Because Jesus gave us a correct understanding of the inner workings of the heart and its effect on our outward things over in Mark 7, where he says, "Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, 'Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean.'" And he went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. Far from within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. And these evils come from inside and make him unclean." So what does all this have to do with a spiritual inventory? And the answer to that question is, of course, everything. The territory of this kingdom, and thus the nature of this coming king, is in the heart. It's in the heart. And Jesus says that the state of our hearts determines all of the outward things, both good or bad. Both good or bad. The state of our hearts determines all of the outward things. And the way, the only way to prepare for this coming king is through preparing the heart. Preparing the heart. The human heart will be the highway in which this king will travel. The human heart. This king is not traveling down a highway across vast territory between the mountains and in the valleys. This king is going to make his way into hearts that have prepared for him. Into hearts that have prepared for him. Now, what did the prophet Isaiah say that Luke used to announce the coming of this king? It says, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight and the rough ways smooth. Since with this king we're talking about a road construction project, what are we talking about? We're talking about instead, what is the road? We're talking about a heart reconstruction project. A heart reconstruction project. Just as workers would remove large rocks and boulders from the path to prepare the way of the king, we have to ask ourselves some important questions. What obstacles in the heart, what obstacles in the heart need to be moved out of the way to prepare for this king? For this king. I don't know. It's different, you know, it's different for everybody. I can't answer this question for you. It's different for everyone. We all have different experiences. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different childhoods. We have different parents. We grew up in different places. We have different personalities. We all have different things we hold on to. Maybe obstacles were put in place way back from childhood. Maybe we have past hurts that have never truly healed. And we're constantly picking at them like scabs. We're constantly picking at those emotional and psychological scabs and keeping that old sore infected. Maybe that old sore from that old hurt is poisoning the rest of our lives, and it's keeping us from feeling and sensing and being aware of the presence of God in our lives. The love of God is there. It's enveloped. He's there. And sometimes we can't feel him, though. Sometimes we can't be aware of his presence because of an old sore, an old emotional sore that we just keep peeling back the scab. So in the spiritual inventory, as I call it, I'm asking you, where do you need to do some rock crushing? Do we need to break any rocks? Do we need to remove any obstacles from our hearts for this coming king? What valleys or potholes need to be filled in to prepare for this coming king? It's not just what needs to be taken away, but what needs to be added. What potholes do we need to fill to prepare for this coming king? Are there areas in our lives that have been neglected so much that spiritual travel and nourishment have become an impossibility? This king of the heart, this Messiah, wants to come and to sup with you and me, to have fellowship with you and me. But sometimes we go through periods of our lives where the spiritually neglected places in our lives prevent his arrival, prevent that fellowship, or at least prevent our awareness of his presence, or our ability to draw from his strength and presence. And so do we harbor unforgiveness? Do we harbor bitterness? These are major potholes that need to be filled in. Do we neglect to pray? Do we neglect to offer ourselves in private worship? Do we neglect to meditate on God's word? You know, these are ways we talk about spiritual disciplines and things that Christians do in order to cultivate the presence of God in our lives. And to prepare this way for Jesus to live and reign. And sometimes we can get dry. Sometimes our faith can get old. Sometimes an immature faith can go through hard times and struggles and have questions and doubts will arise, and a person will quit doing any of those things that help us to come to experience God's presence at all. Quit praying. Quit meditating on God's word. Quit private worship. If this hour together is all there is, can I say to us all, it ain't enough. It ain't enough. World's too tough. Life's too hard. This little hour together that we spend here together, it's not enough if that's all there is. We've got potholes to fill. We've got areas of road we need to build. We have spiritually neglected places sometimes. We need to forgive. We need to let go of bitterness. Some questions we have for God are not going to be answered in this life. But they will be. Sometimes there are questions we just need to put aside. We just got to put them aside because sometimes there are no good answers to the questions we have. And we got to put them aside and say, Lord, I'm trusting you for the future. I'm trusting you for my life. I don't know why this has happened to me, or I don't know why this is happening to a loved one. But I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with their lives. And I'm going to walk with you through this. And I pray someday by your favor, Lord, you'll answer these questions. Do we neglect to involve ourselves in missions or in service to the Lord? You know, the Christian life and the life of a disciple is not only about being, you know, communing with God in prayer or in worship or private worship or public worship. Those are all very important. But do we serve Him in other areas of our lives? Are we on mission for our Lord? Sometimes we focus too much on the inward things and we don't do anything outward. Sometimes we go through times in our lives where that's an issue and we need to ask God to help us with it, and He will. So we need to allow God to fill in the potholes, that have appeared and worsened in the highway of our hearts. And that's something you need to hear from me, because it is not just a matter of stopping this and doing this. Realize that Jesus is there to help you, to help me. This is not a list of do's and don'ts. The life of a disciple of Jesus Christ is not a list of do's and don'ts. It is a personal communion and a personal fellowship as we walk with Him, as we trust Him and talk to Him and cry out to Him and celebrate Him. He is here to help us do these things. Now, we need to know the anatomy of a pothole. The anatomy of a pothole, how this thing happens. Do you know how potholes form, the real kind of potholes? Because I think it has something to say about how this happens in our lives spiritually as well. A few years ago, I was a part of a leadership class. Chambers of Commerce have what they call leadership classes. And so different organizations, might be school districts, colleges, businesses, so forth, they will send representatives to be a part of a leadership class to learn more about the town, to learn more about all the services in the town, the businesses in the town, sort of a class, and you learn about all this. And so I was a part of a leadership class with the chamber, and I got to hear various community city leaders speak. And I got to, one of the speakers was the city manager, and he came to tell us about potholes. I didn't know how potholes formed. Not really, I'd not really studied potholes, but this man had studied potholes. And he gave a talk about it. And it was very interesting. He said that potholes come from stress in a concentrated area. And that area then can develop a small crack from the stress. And then once that tiny crack appears, then that makes a way for the forces of nature to do their damage. Water, ice, and temperature. And so he said moisture then enters the cracks from those forces of nature. And before you know it, a gaping hole begins to appear. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So much so that it finally compromises the whole road. I've seen some potholes like that in Greenville. Not far from my house. Sometimes cracks appear in our spiritual lives. And then the stresses of life can begin to have their negative effects. Things happen that wouldn't normally happen. Temptations are entertained that wouldn't otherwise be entertained. Questions about our faith are entertained. We quit being who we need to be for those who are counting us on us. We turn inward and we get selfish, and on it can go, and a little crack can turn into a major pothole that not only affects our lives, it affects everybody around us. And so as I prepare to close, we need to allow the potholes of our hearts to be filled. We need to take in real spiritual nourishment. We need to drink deeply again from the water of life, who is Jesus. That's the only way that we can strengthen these weakened areas. It's the only way. Don't go down and get a self-help book with humanism in it. Is it ain't going to help? All it's going to do is lead you more and more to yourself, which you don't have the answer for. You know? I love psychology, but most of psychology, a good part of psychology, is just a grand description of the self-life. There's some tips and things that can help, but I firmly believe that the only one who can help is Jesus himself. We need to prepare the way of the Lord. We need to repent where we need to repent. We need to repair where we need to repair. We need to tear down where we need to tear down, and then build where we need to build. It's just like building a physical road, except for one thing. Jesus is there every step of the way. Every step of the way to help you and to help me. And one promise that we need to relish in as we think about these things is what the prophet said at the end concerning the preparation for this coming king. He said, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. Salvation surrounds all of this. Salvation is involved in this. And the promise we have is that in preparing our hearts for Christ's reign in our inner being, his miracle of grace, I've seen it in my own life over and over and over again. I've seen it, what it's like when I go the way of self. I've seen what it's like when I go the way of Christ and the cross. It's always held true that the miracle of grace will multiply in your life. The miracle of grace will multiply in your life as you take steps of obedience toward him in your heart and in your life. His rule does become our pleasure. His rule does become our pleasure. And we become disciples and not merely fans of Jesus. See, when we're a young Christian, an immature Christian, that's just, we all start out that way. We're just really kind of a fan of Jesus. But Jesus wants to take us out of the role of just being a fan, and to help us get into and discover the path of what it is to actually follow him in discipleship. That's where role building comes in. That's where role building comes into play. And God's salvation is at work through all of this, in the present and in our eternal future. I don't know what role building you need to do. I don't know what potholes you need to fill. I do know I'm very much aware of mine. And I intend to walk with Jesus to fill those potholes and to walk with Jesus to build those roads and paths for him to live and reign in my heart. And I invite you to do the same in 2017. Amen. If you're here today and if you have not ever responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, if the light of faith is the way I often put it, if the light of faith is coming on in your heart and you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, you want to be baptized and buried with him in baptism as a public profession of your faith and obedience to Christ and to be covered in his blood, your sins covered in his blood, those are wonderful promises. This is a wonderful time to respond if you want to begin that journey as we stand and sing.